Right, this is Meg Rose, and I'm interviewing Mary Rhodes. It's the 10th of March 2015, and we're at Halsey Manor in the library. Mary, you're known as Biddy.
Yes.
Do you mind if I call you Biddy?
You're very welcome. Most people here do.
Why are you called Biddy?
Very long story, and it's sort of historical, but it goes back to my infancy, really, and the fact that Mary was a very common name when I was at school, and family always called me Biddy, and at Crocombe School I was called Bridget because there were too many Marys, although actually they were all much older than me. I was the tail end, so I would never have got confused with them all anyway. But I sort of stuck to Biddy because it was comfortable being a family name, and later when I was singing in folk song clubs and things like that, it was quite convenient to have a name that people would notice and remember. And it's sort of stuck. And although now in my dotage, it's easier being Mary because I'm an old biddy otherwise, according to all the people of the younger generation. I find that everyone at Halsey still knows me, sort of historically knows me as Biddy, and it's just, I've always answered to anything.
Thank you. So tell me a little bit about yourself. I hear that you went to Crocombe School. Were you born in the area?
Yes. Yes, my family have always been here. So so I've always known the manor. I knew it. It was just part of the surroundings, part of the environment in my childhood.
Right. And how did you become involved in Halsey Manor?
I knew about it when it was established as a folk centre because I'd already been aware of Marjorie as a caller and Frances Gower Wilkinson as a caller in the Crocombe dance groups, which we had in the church house on the upper level. And they used to come out and call sometimes. So I knew about them, and I knew they were taking over the manor as a folk centre. And I was later at college. I got very involved with folk song clubs quite independently. It's a different story altogether. But then when I was at college, I needed holiday work, and I also had a dissertation to do, which I'd rather cleverly angled to be about feudalism, the remains of feudalism. So I thought it would be quite right of me to wangle holiday jobs here, on the pretext of doing the dissertation, but actually just to be with all the folky people.
And your interest, was it in the singing or in the dancing?
Oh, I was singing. I didn't do dancing at all. Well, under protest I did dancing, but I'm not a dancer.
And when you worked here, what sort of work did you do?
Bit of everything. Waitressing, cleaning, helping in the kitchen. Everything there was, because I think in those days all the staff did bits of everything, and we were living in, so that's quite good fun.
Right, you lived in even though your home was just down the road?
Oh yes, because it was just it was part of the job, really.
And then did you go to college after school?
Yes.
Right, and then did you come back to Halsey?
After I left school, I went to France, then I was at college, then I got married and lived in London. So I was away then for about 40 years and never gave much more thought to Halsey. So having spent all the college holidays here and got very involved in it, I just moved on to other things.
And so you say that it was about 40 years and you were re-involved with Halsey?
Yes, which is strange. I hadn't intended to, but came back here to live in 2000. And I got dragged in somehow or other, against my better judgment, to Friends of Halsey Manor. And then when we folded that up, they made me chairman, but we dispensed with Friends of Halsey Manor. It seemed a redundant organisation. And then I got very involved with the archival stuff that Ruth Tong had left that needed a lot of sorting and organising. So I spent some years, actually, on and off, going through Ruth Tong's things, because I had known her very well when I was a child. I was one of the small children she used to take around to the WIs and stand me up there and make me sing and all sorts of things like that. And so it seemed quite appropriate that I could sort it out. And then we brought out the book about her, and then Cynthia collared me to help in the library after that. And I've been trailing around after Cynthia, being her dog's body ever since.
Okay, and do you, you still work?
Yes, yes, and the archive.
Right, right. Tell me a little bit about Ruth Tung. what do you remember? She's a legend, isn't she?
Well, first of all, we used to ride her ponies. When I was about six, I think. Well, I was probably about six when she moved to Crowcombe permanently. And we used to ride her ponies every weekend. We'd go and look at the ponies and ride them and go to Gymkhana's and do things like that. So she was the riding lady for years and years and years. And then later she started... This was around about 1965 when she was involved with Catherine Briggs and bringing out her first couple of books. And she started taking me around the area to various... folk events. She was slightly eccentric, and a lot of people in the folklore world were very very uncertain about her antecedents. But I don't think it matters, because she produced some very good songs, whoever wrote them, and she had some very good stories, and she really was a character with a history, and her real love was theatre. And she used to put on plays as well in the village. We used to do mama's plays for her and pageants. She was always getting up something. She loved anything that involved dressing up and doing a lot of proclamations and stories. Got her going. And so she used to organise us all into doing all sorts of things like that.
So her book, Chime Chime?
Yes.
Right. Is that still available?
It is, yes. We've got about three copies here. No, two copies here. Behind you, and it's out of print, but I see on Amazon they're going for a fortune, a few that are around, and there is a resurgence of interest in her now, because it's about 30 odd years since she died, and people are suddenly becoming interested in what she did anyway, however authentic her work. They're interested in her. In fact, she rather set herself up as the grand old lady of Wolsey Manor, I think, at one point. Which is interesting, because when the folk people first acquired the manor, she was absolutely furious. She said to me, "Well, these middle-class people coming and taking over and undoing years and years of what the confidence I've taken so long to build up in the local people, and now they destroy it with their tape recorders." In one fell swoop. And so she really despised them and looked down on them and had no truck with them at all, no time for them at all. But later on I discovered, because I wasn't around then, she had obviously decided to join forces. And when I came back, she was here, in 2000 or 2000, whatever, 2001. She was looked upon as the grand old lady of Wolsey Manor, which I thought was very entertaining. Complete bolt fast.
Do you think that there are people around now who still remember?
There are one or two. Yeah, well, of course, in the village, a few people talk about her from time to time.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So, what has been the best bit about working here at Wolsey? Perhaps in the library with Cynthia.
What I do enjoy is answering people's inquiries. We get a lot of people who are doing research, and they contact us needing information about all sorts of very interesting things. And that I do enjoy very much.
What sort of research do people do?
I knew you were going to ask that, and I just had to think. we had somebody from North Wales wanting to know about flowers being thrown on people's graves. And what else have we had? Oh, goodness, I should have looked that up before I came, shouldn't I? Then I could have told you. But all sorts of quite unexpected things, anyway. And they are always delighted to find what a very rich resource we have here. And we've got some quite rare books here as well. I think in many ways the future of the manor is going to be as a resource centre.
Yes, I think when I was working here in sort of 65, 66, the library was...
It was just what was there and available, yes. Yeah. But of course inheriting all of Peter Kennedy's collection has done us a lot of good. And, you know, we have been building up stock over the years. Obviously, a lot of people have bequeathed things to us here. And as we have evolved, an archive has fairly naturally evolved with it.
And is that information accessible to anybody?
Oh, of course, yes, yes. I mean, they have to make an appointment, more or less, to come, because there's not always somebody here to help them or show them around. The staff are brilliant, but if they want anything specific, it's probably better for people to come and arrange to see one of us and go through it properly.
And I see a lot of it is computerised. I wonder what Ruth would have made of that.
Yes. I don't think she quite made her way into the computerised world. She didn't do technology.
And have you ever stayed at the manor?
As a guest? Oh, no. It's never, the question's never arisen, really. Yeah.
And do you have any memories of a difficult time or here at Halsey?
No, not particularly. From my point of view, it's always just been, shall we say, Halsey Manor has been a hobby. Even when I was here, you know, on staff, it was just something I did because I enjoyed it, and it paid, of course. Very important. So no, from my point of view, being here has always just been good fun. I mean, I've been aware of a lot of awkward times they've been going through, but none of it has touched me directly, I'm afraid.
And did you keep in touch with Donald and Marjorie?
Oh, Chris's Cardy, yes. Yes, all the way through, yes. They were such wonderful people, actually, to be introduced to the place. And they did look after us all. They called the staff family, and that's how it was. In those early days, the staff were family and the visitors were guests, and they were always made to feel as though they were personal guests with a personal invitation. And Marjorie's concepts of hospitality and, just hospitality, I think, were wonderful. And I think a lot of those of us who have worked there as staff have gone on to live our lives rather according to some of her precepts, I think. She had the Quaker ethos and the Dartington tradition behind her. And I think she influenced a great many of us.
Are there any other people that you remember from those early days?
As fellow workers?
Mm-hmm.
Anna Clayton, she's Anna Philpott now. I've been in touch with her. In fact, she's godmother of one of my children. But I've always been in touch with her, I still am. And, of course, my younger sister was here as cook for a few years as well. She came originally as a holiday girl, and then because she was a trained cook anyway, caterer, she took the job here at some point. She was quite good because she knew everybody and knew exactly what she was up to.
Do you remember Bill Rutter?
Oh, yes, yes. I didn't know him personally, you know, but... he was, of course, the great... the great guiding light. And he was very respected. Just not sure what I have to say about Bill, really, because he was just there.
And what do you feel as you drive up the road and into the gate?
Oh, it always feels... It feels like coming home in a lot of ways. Yes. Yes, very comfortable. It gives great pleasure. Yes, it always gives me great pleasure to arrive here. Which is perhaps why I keep coming.
And are there any sort of really specific archive bits here that you find really interesting that, you know, maybe other people don't know about?
What I enjoy are the, well, it's slightly earlier things, Frances Guy Wilkinson and her family, I find intensely interesting. And such a heritage she left here, because she was already philanthropically working, using the manor as a sort of arts and crafts centre anyway, and Marjorie Donald really just continued what she'd started. But the entire Guy Wilkinson family are absolutely fascinating. So I enjoy... Oh, I've had some inquiries about them from various people.
Could you tell me a bit more about them,
please? Yes, Frances bought the manor in 19... I can't tell you the exact year. Probably 1962? No, 61? Well, I'm sorry. Frances bought the manor after her parents died. She used the money which had been left by her grandfather, who was a Scottish industrialist. Now, her mother, Lily Gail Wilkinson, was brought up in Glasgow in a very wealthy family. She became an anarchist, and at one point she actually called her father's workforce out on strike. She was a suffragist, and in London she was very caught up in suffrage movement, and she married Arthur Wilkinson, who was a travelling puppeteer, marionettist. His brother Walter did glove puppets, and Arthur did marionettes. They made their own. Arthur and Lily then travelled around England giving puppet shows. In the winter, they moved to Italy and lived in a villa next door to D.H. Lawrence, whom they got to know very well. And there are letters between the Lawrences and the Wilkinsons in the at Oxford. Ashmolean, I think. And so Frances and her brother, who was William, never had proper schooling. They travelled around in the caravan with the puppets and again to Italy. They never had any formal schooling at all. Their parents believed in the value of books and home tuition. Frances then went to the Slade. She was a very talented artist. Mm-hmm. And eventually, as I say, she bought the manor when it was available. And her idea was to build it as a sort of craft centre, art centre. She knew Marjorie and Donald quite well personally, and they moved to the manor with her to be stewards here. And so when Frances got married to Dusty Miller, I think her new husband didn't want to live here, and so Frances thought she would sell the manor. And Marjorie was aware of this. So when Marjorie and Donald and Bill Rutter and several others were on a dance trip to Poland, as they went past Auschwitz, to distract everybody from looking at Auschwitz, Marjorie turned round to say to Bill Rutter behind her or in front of her somewhere, and said, "Frances is thinking of selling the manor. Don't you think that would make a wonderful folk music centre for us?" And so it was done in front of Auschwitz. And it all went on from there.
That's really very interesting.
Yes, but a great many people are very keen on the puppet tradition, and the fact that Lily and Arthur were very, very good artists as well. We have a little gallery of their paintings in the corridor upstairs.
Right, I was going to ask if there is any
yes.
of their work.
Yes, the large pictures in the long room are by Francis. And then so we have the little gallery of Francis and Lily and Arthur upstairs.
Very interesting. Did Marjorie and Donald have children?
Adrian, yes. He's living in Tiverton now. He wasn't very involved with living here as such. Whilst they were here, he was away at boarding school, so he was just here at holidays and weekends occasionally. And when he was here, I think everybody enjoyed his company. He was very gregarious as well.
Is there anything else that you would like to add as you think about it?
I'm not sure that I can think of anything specific that would be of important interest to people, but I'm not sure what else you need to know.
I think what we can do
yes.
is we can finish this interview, but there's always time to add
to
things.
Or to have another
yeah,
session.
So, yes.
Yes.
So if you're happy with that.
Yes, that's fine, yes.
And thank you very much. Thank you.
It's a great pleasure.